Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, April 8th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 49. We're going to read and comment on paragraph 1, which begins with, instead of regarding ourselves. Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Lily M. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., and Donna W. Mary B. will greet newcomers at the end of the meeting and get numbers from available sponsors, and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting Eastern Standard Time for yesterday, Wednesday, April 7th, is 16719. That's 16,719. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for April 8th, is 16730. That's 16,730. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine, and thank you so much. This is Terry H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time from Florida, Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeating Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much. Terry H. and Lily M. will now read the 12 traditions. Star one to unmute, Lily. Lily M. Okay. She may be having some
fun. I'm sorry.
Oh, here
yes,
we are.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, here I am. Okay. Yes, Lily from M from Idaho. Number one, the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous shall remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Lily M. Appreciate it. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 49, reading and commenting on the first paragraph, which I will ask Donna W. to please read.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be clean and sober for today. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? So let's see, what I like to do when I read the Big Book is put me, myself, you know, so rather than we, I put I am an intelligent agent of God, God's ever advancing creation. And it's like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. But then when I look on page 44 at the beginning of this chapter, it says to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And so even though that sounds interesting, like, I still go agnostic. So I do believe in God, and I do have connections with God at times. But in my experiences, I go agnostic throughout the day, that I believe that I am my intelligence, Donna's intelligence, is the last word, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end of all. And, you know, feel like it's up to me to figure everything out, and I ruminate and I worry, and it's all turning around in my head because I feel like it's all up to me. And one of my primary character defects is that I'm self-reliant. So whenever I go into self-reliance, it means I'm agnostic. I might because I'm not relying on God. So my journey and program is like, yes, I believe in God, but am I willing to really put my faith in God? You know, and this chapter is all about trying to help us believe in God, because that's the beginning. It says we don't have to have faith yet. So that's my question for myself is, how often do I go agnostic throughout the day? In the morning, I meditate, I connect with my higher power, but then I'm off and I'm running the show. So still huge opportunities to let go and let God. And I do this chapter, you know, with Bill saying, you know, we're rather vain. And, you know, I just wonder, like, okay, this is, you know, he's taking on a big task here, trying to make an argument that there is a higher power. That's a pretty big task. You know, no one's really ever proven that in our history that we know of. You know, I just wonder, like, did this chapter ever really convince anyone to believe in God, or does it make atheists and agnostics even more like wary? I don't know. I think I'm really enjoying all of our shares and conversations around higher power and seeing how I can make more space for my higher power. And my sponsor was saying to me just yesterday, I've been going through a lot lately, and she's like, just saying, help me. That's all. That's a prayer. You know, just for me also just saying, thank you, God. That's a prayer. You know, that's just even saying thank you is just taking me out of myself for a brief moment to remember maybe there's something greater than myself. So those are just very simple ways. I'm not one for big, complicated prayers. But just saying thank you. I do ask God for God's care and protection with complete abandon in the morning. And that seems to help. And then I thank God for the care and protection at the end of the day. So that's all. Just looking at opportunities to welcome in some higher power, to remember I have a higher power and I am not the Alpha and the Omega. Thanks, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Donna W. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared so far this week, you're welcome to press star 1 to unmute and get in the queue.
Freya H.
Kristen R.
Freya H. Kristen R.
Penny L.
Anybody else? Penny L. C. Anyone else?
Becca R.
Becca R. We have room for a couple more.
Sandy A.
Sandy A.
Melissa W.
And Melissa W. Beautiful lineup. Thank you all very, very much. Okay, so we've got Freya H., Christine R., Penny LC, Becca R., Sandy A., and Melissa W. So Freya H., please get us started, and then you'll be followed by Christina R.
Good morning. It's Freya H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, in Colorado. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service in making this meeting happen and for your thoughtful comments and experience on this paragraph and this chapter. And this paragraph reminds me of a few paragraphs prior where it says, you know, outward appearance is seldom inward reality, and this idea that I think what this is telling me that I am actually in partnership with God. You know, God is my I'm the agent, and God is the director. But outward appearance, I can't always see that. It looks like it's just me, so I assume that it's me on my own, and that I have to use all of my human resources, my intelligence, you know, I have to figure it out, and that's how I'm going to do this game called life. And I love this process and these steps because they show me that isn't necessarily so, and especially they illustrate that, you know, they just ask me a question of like, how is that working? You know, just on a very practical level, has it worked for me to rely on myself, to use my human intelligence? And I love, you know, using that word vain at the end of the paragraph, which, you know, vain meaning thinking a lot of myself and vain also meaning that it is fruitless and it's not working. And both of those definitions apply here, that, you know, thinking that I, you know, am the Alpha and the Omega, that I know everything, that I know what's best for myself, that I know what's best for others, that I know what's best for the world, is, it just doesn't work, because I end up restless, irritable, and discontent. And even when things go my way, I'm never satisfied. And so what a relief it is to be offered another explanation, which is, actually, I just get to work in partnership with this higher power, and I don't have to have it figured out. And this higher power does. This higher power is running the show. Oh, my gosh, it's such a relief. So I have come to really, really love this chapter, and whereas, you know, it used to be my least favorite, and I appreciate it so much. And I love hearing how it applies to all of us, you know, regardless of our background, this absolutely applies to me. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Christine R., you're up next, followed by Penny L.C.
Oh, thank you for your service, and thank you to everybody who makes this meeting possible. My name is Kristen R. I'm a recovering, grateful, compulsive eater in Virginia. So when I read this paragraph, I think about the acronym EGO, E-G-O, edging God out. And that's what I do on a daily basis unless I'm in spiritually fit condition. I get really caught up in severe anxiety. I get fearful that even on my best days, that I don't know what to do next. I need to be productive. I need to be making phone calls. I can get very anxious around my program. And if I don't slow down, if I don't pray, if I don't ask God what the next right thing to do is, I just spin out of control. And that's my disease. My disease wants me to spin out of control so that I'll go back to the food, so that I'll get back into ease and comfort from food. But my higher power doesn't want me to do that. My higher power wants to be in relationship with me, wants to be consulted. And seeing my higher power as in charge of my life is one of the hardest things I do in program. It's not easy for me. It doesn't come naturally. And I really have to work at it every day. I have to work at saying those prayers and doing the deeds that my higher power would have me do, which is be of service to other people. I have to work hard at it. But when I do work hard at it, the benefits are just infinite. And I'm able to be a loving, kind servant in this program and in my life. So that's all I have to share today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. Penny L.C., you're up next, followed by Becca R.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. This paragraph reminds me, oh my goodness, I'm too smart for my own good. That's what I know. I may be very intelligent, but I've gotten myself into all kinds of trouble. And if I think my intellect is the end-all, be-all, I need to ask myself, how well is that working? You know, my intellect got me 65-plus pounds overweight and caught up in life's unmanageability. Got to that point of pain and misery. So how well was my intellect working? How well was my, you know, super intelligence helping me to do life? Well, maybe to a certain degree, but not sufficiently, because I am powerless, absolutely powerless. And I don't have the power that I need to completely live this life. I wasn't designed to have it. And so there's a missing element, that missing place inside my soul, in my spirit, that needs to be connected to power. I need to be able to plug in and And the only hurdle to that is my ego and my resistance and my self-reliance. And if I'm willing in this moment to let go of those and to choose to follow, seek and follow my higher power, then I'm on new footing. And when I do and have done it and continue to do it daily, my life is amazingly different and amazingly purposeful and freeing. And I am grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Becca R., you're up next, followed by Sandy A. Please go ahead, Becca.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And it's such a great reading, and I love the shares so far. I just remember this was when my sponsor used the term yoking my will with God's will. And to, you know, I'm so quick to see where my will did not work when it came to the food, the diet, the exercise, the bulimia, the compulsive eating. You know, I was powerless there. But something amazing was happening between my sponsor and I with her power of carrying the steps to me. And it really intrigued me to tap into this. And I say that, like, how did I do that? Well, I worked the steps. I got through the steps. I got to 10, 11, and 12, and I was now tapped into this higher power. And I have another friend in program who likes to say it's almost like we're on a different wavelength, those of us who have recovered.
Have this gift, this miracle that's, you know, only through our recovery that's God-given. Our higher power has given it to us. But more of an opportunity than the food ever afforded me. More joy, more connection, more relation with my fellows than the food ever gave me. So that's what came up for me. I'm excited to hear what everybody else has to share. That's all.
Thanks so much, Becca R. And Sandy A., you're up next. Please let us know where you're calling from.
I'm Sandy A. from Ohio. I'm a compulsive eater. And this paragraph means a lot to me in different ways. The word intelligent pops out at me. I've always been disturbed by people who consider me intelligent or smart. And that comes from low self-esteem, of course. And when I work on that, and when I pray about that, I have to pray that I find a healthy balance, that I don't become egotistical, thinking that I'm super intelligent, but that my self-esteem rises so that there's a healthy balance in there. I have to think that, yes, I was indeed created to do God's will or do my higher power will. And that's just something that that I'm working on now. It's something that I probably will have to continue to work until I find that healthy balance. And with that, that's what I have to say. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sandy A. Melissa W. is up next, and let me just quickly first say that we are commenting on page 49 of We Agnostics, paragraph 1, which begins with, instead of regarding ourselves. And we'll take another line up after we hear from Melissa W. Please go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa W. From New York. So grateful to be here and really grateful to have heard the connection between, especially that line, rather, all of it, and then connected the rather vain of us to 44, and that was and it can be a difficult choice. There's a lot of emotion coming up for me today. The what do I choose? Because I chose for years, and it was a conscious choice. I mean, I was, I guess, quote unquote, sober, though sometimes not drunk, in another program. And I'm like, I chose the doomed. And, you know, I guess other, you know, what else pops up is like, you know, we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. You know, I'm like actively trusting my finite self. And I know that, you know, that in the book, what it says about like fear, and it's just, I am like really afraid. And I'm like so recent, like really within a week, I'm like, no, I need to let go of like whole food groups, you know, and okay, I needed last year, like I'll let go of binging, I'll let go of all these obvious things, but and really, truly, and I'm stating, I guess the obvious in this room, but like letting go of these big things, and I'm, oh God, I don't even know what I'm saying. I just feel, it's like, all this stuff is coming up. Yeah, it feels a lot like giving up, like, you know, alcohol and cocaine a long time ago. And I'm just really grateful to be here. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just really grateful. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa W. We're glad you're here. And what seemed at first to be a flimsy read turned out to be the loving, powerful hand of God, just to quote the big book. Okay, so we're ready to take another lineup. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared so far this week, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know you'd like to share.
Eileen D.
Eileen D, I believe.
Margo.
Ree M, New York.
Margo, Rhea M, Dion R,
Margo P,
Mary G,
Jordan L.
Jordan L. That sounds like a good lineup for now. I got Irene, I believe it was, or Eileen, and you can correct me and give me the first initial of your last name, followed by Margo P. Oh boy. Renee M, I believe it was, Dion R, Mary, and Jordan
after
M.
After Eileen, it's Margo B. B.
Margo P?
B as in boy. I think P came B as in later
boy.
On in the queue.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
So I don't know how well I did with all of this, but we'll just take it as it is and muddle our way through. Thank you so much. And we may have time for more shares after that. So, Eileen, I believe it was.
Yes, it's Eileen D as in David. Can you hear me?
Eileen D as in David. I can hear you. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you for this lovely meeting. I am Eileen D from Maryland, a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace today. Yes, it is an amazing little tiny paragraph. Oh, I was such a vain person. Oh my goodness, my intelligence was always got me. And of course, to me, intelligence and pride went hand in hand. So I was this, the kids say today, a hot mess. So full of myself. And then I came in program, a broken woman. I mean, I couldn't handle the food. I didn't understand it. You know, 75 pounds, and there I was, over my normal weight. And all because I got angry at my God. He didn't do things my way. Gosh, he didn't have the plan I had. He had his own plan. And of course, I got very angry, and I went right back to my idol, sugar, and immediately couldn't stop. So when I finally admitted defeat, quit the debating club, and came back in the rooms after having thought I was fine for years, I was so humbled. I was so crazy humbled by the shares and by people and the kindness and the love and the non-agenda that people had, that I had to suspend my own crazy intelligence and say, look, at the God of my understanding, you got this. You take the wheel. So the God of my understanding took the wheel, and I'm now happy, joyous, and free. Yeah, still trials. Still get anxious. Still have to stop the debate society. Like how one person said, if I'm not living with my higher power and his will, then I'm kind of living agnostic. And that really hit a chord for me, something I hadn't thought about. But yes, so arrogant. And so, yeah, vanity, all vanity. So I'm glad to be on this side where we're all together kind of reaching out the journey of one day at a time being abstinent. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen D. And Margo B., you are up next, followed by, I think maybe it's Lorene M. Okay, Margo B., please go ahead. And
thank
tell
you.
Us where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Margo. Good to claim my seat. Thank you for the service. Thank you for all the comments around the room. Just so grateful at the moment to really hear the honesty, because it keeps me honest. I guess for me, what's coming up the most is pain and grief, and just how hard it is to maintain boundaries. Like, here I am, and this is where I end, and this is where you begin. Same thing with the food. Boundaries of a plate. You know, I come from bags, boxes, cartons. You know, I'll buy 3 forks to make the guy behind the counter think that, like, all those 6 cakes are going to be between, you know, 6 people. Meanwhile, it was just all for me. So also coming out of the garbage. I mean, just keeping it green. And I guess the fear, that self-centered fear that keeps me in the warped illusions or vice versa, and just having to go to God, surrender to God, you know. It says in our big book, God is everything or nothing. What is my choice to be? And to some days it just takes more work to fight through that negativity and the lies and the delusion, and just feeling a tremendous amount of anxiety because I spoke up for myself in a particular situation, didn't engage, and, you know, didn't go into that drama, trauma. And, you know, again, an analogy for the food, the drama and trauma is like, oh, let me eat, and then, oh, tomorrow I'll start again. Of course, tomorrow never comes, or I'm okay for the first couple of hours, whatever. So for me, the food is just a symptom. The deep core work, I have to keep working at it. Today I'm full of anxiety, but that's okay. I get to share about it and keep churning to God, you know. Keep on keeping on. And more will be revealed. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margo B. And I believe it's Lorene M. that is up next, and followed by Dion R. If not, it may have been Renee. And it could be completely wrong altogether.
Hello?
Yes, I can.
Hi. This is Re M from New York.
Re M from New York. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, this is, I'm actually in this part of the chapter and everything. I came back after years. I relapsed during the pandemic. I'm alone. I've been grieving. I've just been, I guess what the other lady said, one hot mess, basically. And, I mean, I've been on these different meetings for months, and then all of a sudden, I do know it was a God thing, because God sent me a sponsor that I almost feel like, you know, I want to make her happy. And at this point, I start with her, and now I got stomach problems, and it's funny because I've lost my appetite. I absolutely have to force myself to eat, and And I only started. That's the thing. I only started. I mean, I'm following up now with doctors for my health and everything, but it's like I'm so confused, you know. More or less, I guess there's a point in my life where I wish I would have been an atheist, which is a sad thing to say, because growing up and the God that I knew and the God that I'm trying like to push the past away now, at which I'm going to be 56, it's so hard because I only knew of one God, the one that punishes Marie, you know, punishes. So for me, I'm having such a hard time, you know, and believe me, I'm seeking, I'm trying, I'm praying, I'm doing whatever I can. And then I'm like, why can't I just feel that love? It's like, I don't know, but I'm in program. I'm grateful, so grateful. I met a wonderful sponsor. She's patient with me. She knows what I'm going through, and it was easy to tell her the truth about stuff. So, you know, but yeah, it's hard. I guess it's hard to give up control. I don't know. I'm still controlled back with my past and not my present. So anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Re-M in New York. Appreciate your
thank
share.
You.
Okay, Dion R., you are up next, followed by Mary G.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. This is Dion R., signing in. And first of all, I want to make amends. I'm missing the beginning and enjoying some of this good spring Ohio rain. Dozed off while I was waiting. Want to get that out there. First of all, I do make amends to the group for that. But I was looking at this this paragraph and listening to everyone share as I was reading it. It just reminds me of, you know, my disease. I used to spend so much time lying to myself and others or trying to practice a lie. What lie can I tell? So I'm using this present situation. I was like, do I tell them the truth? Yes. It always works because for years my brain was saying, how will other people see you if you tell the truth? Or what if you deviate just a little bit or tell a little lie? And today it's just so simple. This program is so simple. Not easy, but it's simple. Just tell the darn truth, because today I know that the God of my understanding, my creator, even tells, he reduced that brain that I thought I was so intelligent, got so many honors with in school. Like, look, he reduced it down to nothing with this disease. And times I was in a food and loss, I couldn't even remember my name after that. So, you know, to work these simple steps, 1 through 12, and incorporate it in my life on any situation, oh my goodness, it reduces that brain, that ego, that self-centeredness. And, yeah, because my idea, yes, is like many said, I had the God idea I had was like, ugh, like that in the beginning. Today it's like, ah, oh my God. Thank you, God. Oh, yeah, I didn't think it was going to go that way. You know, thank you for loving me. And thank you for not punishing me. But this is what I had to develop. Everyone has to develop their own. And I just love the emotions that were coming out today, listening, hearing that either God is or he isn't. It sounds so easy, but it's not. But the more you practice it, the more I practice, I'll put it like this, the more I practice this program, the easier it gets to just go back to the solutions. Tell the truth. Work the steps. Be honest. You know, and God. Anywho, the miracles happen and continue. And then I just become a part of the human race again. And with that, I'll pass, guys. And guys and girls, thanks for allowing me to be a part of the process. And I will pass with that.
Thanks so much, Dion R. Okay, Mary G., I believe it is up next, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona. Thank you for allowing me to share and for your service. This paragraph, it's interesting. When I first read it, I thought, oh, I was never like that. I had a concept of a God. I was very committed to doing God's will. But if you would have looked at my life, and especially the way that I was in OA, this is exactly how I was. I came in very arrogant, and I came in full of, false pride. I thought I knew what I knew, which was I just wanted to be thin. And since this was a spiritual program, and I was a spiritual person, so I thought I should be able to figure this out. I just never got the message that, and I can't say that's true. I did get the message that I had to work the steps. But, people would say to me, how do you work? You've got to work the steps. And I would say, how? And walk away. I really did not want to know how to work the steps. I wanted to have God give me the easier, softer way of simply losing the weight and still being able to eat the way that I like to eat. And that just didn't happen. And today, I catch myself still, thinking that I know better than God, that, this shouldn't have happened or that shouldn't have happened or, whatever circumstance in my life I'm struggling with shouldn't have happened. And I remember back that, no, Mary, you are not God. This is not God's will according to Mary. It is God's will and you do it. And, for me, the circumstances in my life are God's will, whatever that is. Sometimes do I like them? Absolutely not. But it happens that, I need to learn acceptance. I need to learn how to find, my God in the circumstances because I believe he's there with all my heart. And so, I'm grateful for this program and for these paragraphs because even when I think I can't relate to them because, I was an agnostic or I was an atheist, I've always been a believer. Well, look at the reality, Mary. Look at the reality. You most certainly weren't an atheist. You believe in God, but you most certainly were an agnostic because you put yourself and food above God and you thought you could figure it out. And that was pretty much my big problem. And I still struggle with it. I still need to learn that not my will, but thy will be done. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary G. And Jordan L. is up next. We will have time for a share or two. We're commenting on page 49, paragraph 1, instead of regarding ourselves. Please go ahead, Jordan L.
cool. Thank you for moderating this morning. I think that's Elaine. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you guys this morning. I got to tell you, I've been looking for power for a long time, man. I don't know why. I don't know where I got this idea that, like, power was my problem and I didn't have enough of it. but I've been looking for it for a long time. I looked to school and my intelligence to have it. And then once that ended, I started looking to my job and promotions to have it. I looked to relationships. I looked to all sorts of things. And it really comes down to that. Like it's a search for power. and I guess like in one way that sucks because I was kind of looking in all the wrong places. But in another way, it was enough to get me to where I'm at now, and I'm not saying that I'm at like the end all be all now by any means. I got a long ways to go. I got a lot of years left on this earth, so we'll see what happens. but this is my power today. God's ever advancing creation, that's where I get to live today. So I'm not compulsively overeating, right? My fits of depression and self-pity get shorter and shorter and shorter. But I have this never-ending supply of power now. You know, I will, it's like the ultimate inspiration, this ever advancing creation. It goes on forever. And I get to be a part of it, you know, like in the 12 step, I get to 12 step other compulsive overeaters and addicts. And I get to practice bringing these principles into all my affairs. And I say practice because that really will be a lifelong task of learning to be effective at that, you know. but it truly is. It's the ultimate source of power. It's pretty cool stuff. So anyway, that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, Jordanelle. Yes, this is Elaine D. Glad to be on the meeting with you. We do have time for maybe two more quick shares. Though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may have shared their experience. So if you haven't shared this week and you want to do a quick share, please give me your name.
Margo P.
Margo P. and somebody Z.
Sophie Z.
Jaylene B.
Sophie Z. Don't know if we'll have time for you, Gaylene. We're pretty tight now, but we'll start with Margo P. and Sophie Z, and then if we have time, we'll put you in too. So if you want to take 2 minutes, that would be great, but actually, we really only have time for, too many names. Two-minute shares, please. Margo P., please go ahead.
Yes, my name is Margo P. I heard another Margo, and I said, wait a minute. All right, well, I'm Margo P. from Tampa. I'm grateful to be on this call. I was in a pity party mode a little while ago. It had to do with a job that has turned down. And I started to look at this paragraph, talk about intelligent. Here, I know it all, and I need to apply for this job. And it didn't work, and then it's like relying on myself instead of relying on my higher power. And so I sent a text to my sponsor, and she said, get to a meeting. So I'm on this call, and I need to hear myself saying that I need to put my ego down, and then not thinking that I am very powerful, that I have all the intelligence for this position. And I started to, you know, say, oh, maybe they're turning me down because of my age, you know. I'm old already. I'm over 70. And it's like, okay, cannot be going there to compare yourself. And I say to my sponsor, I want to cry and I want to eat. And I'm grateful that she showed me, you know, the truth to get onto this meeting and that the food thought gets out of my mind. But I'm grateful that I had to hear this paragraph. And I'm going to write something about this paragraph and say, everybody share. Beautiful. So thank you. And I'll pass. Margo, and Compulsive Overeater, Tampa, Florida. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo P. And please close us out, Sophie Z. It's all yours.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Sophie Z from Montreal, Canada. And I just want to say how grateful I am to be on the line today. I have been in program since 2007, but just understood the We Agnostic chapter now, which is, you know, God reveals to me what needs to be revealed in the time it needs to be revealed. When somebody said on the line, you know, that if I'm trying to run the show, then that's being agnostic. I couldn't relate. I've been religious, you know, my whole life and connected to God, not in the way that I am now with program, but I just didn't understand why it wasn't working. And now I get it. Like, I'm just agnostic as the other person who, you know, just, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible. Anyways, I just feel so blessed and, I'm grateful to be here, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sophie Z, and everybody who shared. And Gaylene, perhaps you can get on the line tomorrow. I'm sorry we didn't have time for you, but we're going to transition the meeting now by reading from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.